Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, we rejoice that you are our chosen portion. You are the cup that overflows to eternal life. As we celebrate your Easter miracle of bringing life out of death, we express our gratitude and our joy for the new life within us and all around us. Bless these gifts, Lord, that we offer to you today, that they may bring hope and new life to the world that clings even now to the illusion of death's victory over the Lord of life. And it's in Christ's strong and powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we are going to start a new sermon series over the next couple of weeks, looking at some of the resurrection encounters that we find at the end of the Gospels. And today, we're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. So if you would find your place in your Bibles, you can follow along as I read momentarily. As a way of preparing our hearts for the reading of Holy Scripture, I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, help us to turn our hearts to you and to hear what you will speak. For you speak peace to your people through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of the gospel. John chapter 20, verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced that they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And after he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Holy Week and Easter are one of the busiest seasons for Christ's people. We pour a tremendous amount of energy and emotion into remembering Jesus' passion and his death, and also proclaiming his victory on Easter morning. This past weekend, we had five worship services in a very short 4 days. Those services, y'all, they took a lot of different teams of people in order for us to pull them together. There was worship team. There was a creative design team. We had a hospitality team. We had people who were working behind the scenes with video and audio technology. We had folks working security. Our kids ministry were very busy planning activities. Our church staff was super busy with all the extra work that needed to be done and printing bulletins and putting all of the things together and making sure our campus was on the best footing to host over 700 people for those worship services. And you know, the pastors, we worked a little bit too. We did. And you know, this morning, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for taking part in making last weekend such a great time of worship together. Thank you for pouring your passion and your love into remembering and proclaiming the most astonishing news. He is risen. You know, a friend texted me following the services last Sunday and asked me how it went. My response was, it was incredible and exhausting at the same time. I went home and I crashed. I was worn out. But it was one of those good kinds of worn out, you know? It was worth it. So I stand here this morning grateful today. I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that some folks showed back up this Sunday. Thank you for being here. Following that first Easter morning, the followers of Jesus were experiencing a lot of different kinds of emotions. You know, I can't help but remembering the first part of John 20 when Mary goes to the tomb with tears in her eyes. She was grieving. She was weeping. I can't help but think about others who went to that tomb and experienced different types of emotions. There were some who were astonished and perplexed with finding the tomb empty. One that comes to mind is Peter. In the portion of scripture that we just read, we find that later in that day, we are told that the disciples were together and they were locked. They had locked themselves into a room because they were afraid. Another emotion. You know, in the hours and days following Jesus' death, the disciples waited. They waited like Jesus told them to do. They waited someplace in Jerusalem. They waited in a room. They waited behind locked doors. They waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send them. They waited in fear because they were afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus might happen to them. One translation of John 20:19 reads this way: although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. I want us to linger on this verse for a moment. The reality of what is happening here is so encouraging to us from a spiritual perspective. My experience of Christ's presence in my life over the years seems to confirm that Jesus doesn't push into our lives where he's uninvited. He comes when welcomed. When we open our hearts to him. But y'all, this verse offers a slightly nuanced perspective to that idea. Ruth Barton, who is a great spiritual writer, someone that I think I have all the books she's written, I've followed her over the years and enjoy what she teaches about spiritual leadership and how we are to take care of ourselves and exercise the spiritual disciplines in our lives. Something I was listening to recently that she says about this passage is how we are a lot like these disciples. We have doors in our lives that are locked because of fear, and we don't know how to open them. She says, Jesus knows we want to open the door, but we are so afraid and we don't know how. Jesus knows that we would do anything to live beyond our fears. So Jesus finds a way in. Y'all, I think this is a wonderful message after Easter. And the reason is this: the living Christ that we worship and celebrate knows when we are afraid. And he knows why we are afraid. He knows your fears. And he finds a way to come into those spaces in our lives anyway. The question I might ask you this morning is, what doors are locked in your life right now? Where is there a door that you have kept shut because of fear or a lack of knowledge? You may be saying, I don't know how to open this door and let Christ in. Maybe behind that door in your life is a dream or a calling from God. You want to be obedient, but you are afraid of taking that step in faith. Sometimes behind those doors, we keep things from our past. We have kept those things buried deep inside of us and locked away because we don't know how to resolve them. Y'all, there are any number of things that we lock away out of fear because we don't understand how to deal with them. Sometimes there are unreconciled relationships. Do you have any of those in your life? You don't know how to work them out? What about doubt? Maybe you have some doubts that have lingered in your heart and mind, some unresolved tension in your faith. And you don't know how to find the answers or to move beyond those questions. What about unconfessed sin? You know, there's some failures and some mistakes that you've made, and maybe you've kept them in a dark place, and you really haven't brought them into the light of God's forgiveness and healing because you are ashamed. Your guilt weighs upon you, and you don't know if you can be free or not. You're afraid. You know, we also have our limitations and our own weaknesses that we struggle with. Maybe we haven't accepted those and figured out a way to move forward in life despite those weaknesses, or relying on the strengths of others, or even the strength of God in those weaknesses. Y'all, there are so many things that we keep locked up. But the thing is even when there is a locked door in my life, Jesus isn't limited by that. Isn't that hopeful? Even when there is some place of brokenness in my life that I don't know how to open and resolve, Jesus isn't limited by my limitations. He comes when He's invited, and yet He knows our desires and will find a way even if we don't know how to open the door. Although the doors were locked, John says, Jesus came and He stood among them. Y'all, I believe the risen Christ wants to be present with you in that place that causes you to be overcome with fear. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him enough to be with you and lead you out of that place of fear? Some of you may need to pray a prayer like this. Lord, be with me in this unknown journey of illness. I am afraid. Help me, Lord, to not let my fear keep me from living in faith. Think about that prayer. Lord, journey with me into this unknown place. I acknowledge I am afraid. But help me to not allow my fear to keep me from living in faith. What is Jesus say to these disciples when he appears to them? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Jesus' word to us in that place of fear is always peace. One way that we know that it's Jesus that's with us in that place is when we're no longer afraid. God, that comforts me. It comforts me in knowing that where Jesus' presence is, I don't have to be afraid. We can have peace knowing that Jesus is with us. When the disciples saw the Lord, John says, he showed them his wounds and his hands and his side. And it says when they saw him, they were glad. Where did the fear go? They're now overcome with gladness. The word glad here means to be well, to be calm, to be filled with joy. It is the absence of fear and the presence of peace. Earlier in John's Gospel in chapter 14, it was Jesus that said to us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The good news is Jesus isn't limited by our locked doors. When his presence comes into those places, there's peace. In just a moment, we're going to come down and receive communion today. You know, one of the wonderful things about what we believe about the sacrament is that Christ is with us. Christ is with us at this table, and his very presence is made available to you. His grace is present. His peace and comfort can be received. When you come for communion today, you're going to be given a key. I have hundreds of them this morning. I was expecting a big crowd. And they're all different. They're all unique. Just like you. And just like the circumstances of your lives. But you'll be given a key. And I hope that you will put this on your key ring or put it in your Bible or put it out someplace to be a reminder to you. The key is to remind you that Christ's presence is the key that unlocks all of our fears. All of them. Because Christ is alive, because he has overcome death, there's nothing that we need to fear. He's overcome it. And because he lives, I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to get through. We must hold on in faith through it all, knowing that he's with us. His living presence is the key to our peace. His living presence is the key to your peace.